Now, there's something about brokenness that connects us in deep and powerful ways, doesn't it? Some of the greatest songs, paintings, sculptures, books, and movies were created as direct expressions of human brokenness or heartbreak. Taylor Swift literally built a career off heartbreak, right? All of her songs come out of that place. One of our favorite songs here at 99 that we sing in worship is called How He Loves. And a lot of people don't know that song actually wasn't written as a corporate worship song meant to be sung in churches. It was actually a song written from heartbreak and brokenness. The writer John Mark McMillan, who's one of my favorite artists, he wrote it in response to the death of one of his best friends who died way too early and young. And he wrote this song, How He Loves, as a direct response to the brokenness and the pain and the suffering that he was enduring. And now it's crazy that it's like one of the most popular Christian songs. David Crowder picked it up, CCM, that mess. And this is what happens. Our brokenness connects us. It bonds us. And I think the reason why brokenness connects us is because deep down, I think we're aware, whether consciously or subconsciously, that we're all headed in the same direction, toward death. And what is death if not the ultimate manifestation of brokenness? Nobody escapes death. Nobody escapes being wounded. Nobody escapes experiencing pain. And I think the truth is that the human experience is that we are all wounded people, whether mentally or emotionally or physically or even spiritually. You know, there's a version of Christianity here in the West that I think is really dangerous that aims to erase suffering and brokenness from the Christian life. And they sell this lie that once you give your life to Jesus, life will be pain-free. But that's something Jesus never promised. We have to remember that even the heroes of the scriptures, of the Bible, who were chosen and blessed by God, had these radical moments where they were chosen and blessed, also all lived very broken lives. Like, think about it. Abraham and Sarah, they're given this promise that their descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But they had to live through 25 years of waiting, 25 years of disappointment, of uncertainty before they had their first child. And I think typically in this story, we tend to center Abraham's experience. But imagine what Sarah was going through. That's a lot of pressure to put on one woman's womb. Imagine what that was like for her, waiting in that period of brokenness. King David, he lived a huge chunk of his life fleeing from King Saul, who was trying to murder him. And he was living in caves, eating crap. Like, he had lived a hard life. And later in his life, even, his own son led a rebellion to drive him from the throne, to kick him out of his own kingdom. All of these people in Scripture that were chosen and blessed by God were well acquainted with brokenness. And I think we too, as beloved children of God, can't escape our brokenness either. Henry Nouwen, he writes, "Many people suffer because of the false supposition on which they have based their lives. That supposition is that there should be no fear or loneliness, no confusion or doubt. But these sufferings can only be dealt with creatively when they are understood as wounds integral to our human condition." In other words, until we come to acknowledge and accept that suffering is a part of the human experience, and not just the human experience, suffering is what it means to follow Jesus. It's something that we cannot opt out of. Until we acknowledge and accept that, we will never find true joy or peace. Now, what does this have to do with becoming the beloved? First, I believe that our brokenness reveals something about who we are. In other words, my brokenness tells you something about me. And your brokenness tells me something unique about you. And I think that's why one of the greatest privileges in life is something we did this morning, is sharing our deep pain and our deep brokenness and our deep wounds with one another. Because it's an expression of trust. I'm inviting you to see what's unique about me. I'm inviting you to see the deepest parts of my humanity that I just don't show anyone. Our brokenness is always lived and experienced as highly personal, as highly intimate and unique. And I truly believe that every human being suffers in a way that no other human being suffers. And that's why two people, they can go through the exact same thing, yet come out of it so differently. Two people can experience the same tragedy and experience it differently. And neither of them would be right or wrong, just different. That's why I don't think it's very helpful to compare our suffering, because at the end of the day, your pain and my pain are so deeply personal and specific to who we are that there's no point in trying to quantify which is worse or which is better. Our brokenness is truly ours and nobody else's. And what's interesting is in our world, in our culture, we try to part ways with our brokenness. We try to mask it or hide it. But what the invitation to becoming the beloved requires is that we learn to claim our brokenness. Our brokenness is just as unique as our chosenness and our blessedness. It's a deep expression of who we are. Now, Paul, in one of his letters to the Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians 12, 6-10, "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul had this thorn. Something in his life that is not specified what it was, but was clearly afflicting him. And he goes from this place of begging God, like, "God, take this away from me," to just like a verse later, to him embracing it and even boasting about it. What's happening here? I believe that Paul is claiming his brokenness. He's saying, "This brokenness is mine. It's part of my humanity. It's an expression of who I am, and I will not hide it away. I will not walk away from it. In fact, I will boast in my weakness, because it's through my weakness that God's power is made perfect. It's through my brokenness where I experience deep communion with God." In other words, my brokenness isn't a barrier to God's power. It's actually the conduit of God's power in my life. And I love here that we're not told what this thorn was. We can only guess. Some people think it's like he had lust problems. Some people think he had a limp. There's many theories about what this thorn was, whether it was physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional. But I love that we're not told what the thorn is, because it invites us as the reader to consider, what is my thorn? What is my unique brokenness? Because all of us have a thorn. All of us have a wound. All of us have brokenness. And as the beloved, the challenge is we are called to claim our unique chosenness and our blessedness, but also to claim our unique brokenness. And so the question is, how can we respond to this brokenness? How can we claim this brokenness? And I'd like to suggest 3 ways laid out by Henry Nouwen in his book. First is befriending our brokenness. Second is putting our brokenness under the blessing. And third is using our brokenness to bring healing to others. So that's where we're going today. Now, the first way that God calls us to respond to our brokenness is by befriending it. And this may seem unnatural, because it is. Usually our first knee-jerk response to pain and suffering is to avoid it, or to ignore it, or to deny it, or to distract ourselves from it. Suffering, whether physical, mental, or emotional, is almost always experienced as this unwelcome intrusion in our lives. And it's difficult, if not impossible, to see anything positive in our suffering as we're enduring it, right? If you've ever been in the thick of it, it's impossible to think, "Oh my God, this really sucks, but I know it's going to be good." Like, it's just not natural to feel that way. Yet the first step to healing is not a step away from the pain, but a step toward it. What if brokenness is just an intimate part of being, our being, as our chosenness and our blessedness? If that's true, then to deny our brokenness would be to deny our very humanity. And so to become the beloved, we have to find the courage to embrace our brokenness, to turn our most feared enemy into a friend, to claim it as an intimate companion on this journey of life. One thing that I find fascinating about Jesus is Jesus, he's hung on the cross, he's buried in a tomb, he resurrects. And I always wondered when reading this story as a kid, when he came out of the grave, when he came out of the tomb, why did he leave his scars there, right? Like, he's supposed to be perfected, risen, and resurrected. Why were his scars still there? Why does he have these interactions with the disciples, with Thomas, where he allows Thomas to feel the scars in his hand where the nails were? Why do the scars remain? And I believe it's this very point right here. Jesus wants us to know that what faith looks like is not an erasure of the brokenness and pain and suffering that we endure, but a redemption of it. He's saying, I'm not trying to hide my scars. And we as believers, we don't need to hide our scars either. When we have gone through the ringer, when we have gone through pain and suffering, those scars are the testimonies of God's goodness. And I think there's a version of Christianity here in the West that aims to try to erase scars from our lives. That's in your past. Don't talk about it. That's all dealt with and gone. Don't bring it up. But no, it's an important part of our humanity. And that's what it means to befriend our brokenness. I'm convinced that healing is often so difficult because we don't want to know the pain. But it's only when we face our pain and when we live through it that we can find our way to healing. And so the question is, what if suffering isn't necessarily an obstacle to the joy and peace that we long for, but sometimes a means to it? Henry Nouwen says, the great secret of the spiritual life is that everything we live, whether it's joy or sadness, triumph or pain, health or illness, can all be part of the journey toward the full realization of our belovedness. In other words, when we hear the voice of God telling us that we're chosen and we're blessed, that's one way to solidify our identity as the beloved. But how many of you know another way to step further into your identity of your belovedness is through your brokenness and pain? Our brokenness and our pain and the suffering we have endured has something to tell us about our identity as beloved children of God. And here's the beautiful thing. One of the best ways to befriend brokenness is through friendship. We need someone to sit with us in our pain, to cry with us, to hold us. We need someone who will sit with us in our pain to assure us that there's peace beyond the anguish, life beyond this death, healing beyond brokenness. I think suffering is almost always unsufferable, unbearable in isolation. But shared suffering has the power to bring healing. Henry Nouwen, sorry, I'm quoting him so much because it's so good. He once said, who can save a child from a burning house without taking the risk of being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to the story of loneliness and despair without taking the risk of experiencing similar pains in his own heart and even losing his precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering it? I think what's really remarkable about Jesus is that he entered into our suffering to rescue us from it. And in doing so, he modeled the radical way of love. What if we could help each other face our deepest pain? What if we could stand by one another as we face our greatest brokenness, entering into suffering with one another to come out of it? And so first is befriending our brokenness. The second way God calls us to respond to our brokenness is by putting it under the blessing, right? What is that charismatic lingo crap? What does that mean? Let me tell you. Nouwen argues that our brokenness is often so terrifying to face because we live our brokenness under the curse. What does that mean? He defines it this way. He says, living our brokenness under the curse means that we experience our pain and our suffering as a confirmation of the negative feelings we feel about ourselves, right? You go through something hard. I always knew I was worthless. This just confirms it. This is happening to me because God's punishing me. How many times have you said that? Of course this happened. I'm cursed. As human beings, we're constantly searching for an explanation for the suffering we go through. When we lose a loved one, when we get fired, when we fail that exam, when we go through breakups, when war breaks out, when we lose our homes, the first question that often emerges is why? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why here? And so much of the torment that we experience as we live through suffering is because we don't know the answer to that very question, why? And some of us, we go through our entire lives never getting that answer. That's what makes suffering so unbearable, doesn't it? I watched this YouTube video about this guy who, he's crazy because he tries out for all these difficult, like, forces to get into. So he tried out for the French Special Forces, which I think is one of the hardest armies to get into. And he just chronicles his journey through it. And as I was watching this, eating my chips here in America, I was like, man, that's tough. And they put him through the ringer. Like he was doing, basically there would be these moments where they give him a hard task, right? And be like, do 100 push-ups, do 100 sit-ups, go run 6 miles right now in this time. And he was narrating to the camera like, you know, that stuff I could do, which is pretty impressive. Like I can't do that stuff. But he's like, when I know how much I have to do of something or how far I need to run or how long I need to do it, like I could do it because mentally I know when the end is. But the two challenges he almost quit, one was he had to hike through the night getting from one point to another, but he wouldn't know he got there until he got there. He just has to follow a compass blindly. And he said that was so hard because he's walking throughout the entire night sleep deprived. And he has no idea when he's going to reach the end, whether it's going to be in 5 minutes or 5 hours. And the second time he almost gave up was this combat section where he's fighting with these other guys and all these pads. And they didn't tell him how long it was going to go on. And so like every time he get knocked down, he wouldn't know, should I get back up or is it going to be over? And he keep getting back up. But he said it was so hard because he didn't know when the end was. And I think for so many of us, when we go through suffering, the reason why it's so hard is because we don't know when it'll end. We don't know when we'll come out of it, and we don't know why we're going through it. When we live our brokenness under the curse, we're tempted to explain away our suffering as confirmation that there's something wrong with us or that God abandoned us because we're there in the mystery. But the great spiritual call of the beloved is to pull our brokenness out from the shadow of the curse and put it under the light of the blessing. In other words, maybe my brokenness, maybe my suffering isn't confirmation there's something wrong with me. Maybe it's actually God doing something in me. Maybe my brokenness isn't confirmation that God has abandoned me. Maybe it's just evidence that God is doing something in and around me. Pain lived under the blessing is experienced radically different from pain lived under the curse. Even a small burden perceived as a sign of our worthlessness or our abandonment from God can lead us to deep depression. But on the other hand, great and heavy burdens can become light and easy when they're lived in the light of the blessing. And this explains why true joy can be experienced in the midst of great suffering. It's the joy of knowing that God works all things for my good, not only in the absence of my pain, but even through my pain. Now, one thing I think we need to get straight, you know, some of us have such twisted theologies where we believe that God, He had me go through that. It was his will for me to go through that very traumatic or difficult thing so that he could grow me. And you know, that sounds like good, but like, think about that. Like really, like what kind of God would do? Like imagine like if I'm trying to teach my son, right, how to be stronger and I just put him through the ringer and I torture him. He doesn't know what's going on. But my reasoning is, oh, he's going to be stronger on the other end. I think we have this twisted theology that tells us that God wills all these traumatic, suffering things in our lives, that it's his will, it's his desire, it's his delight so that we could become these super holy Christians. It's not God's will for you to experience the suffering that you're experiencing in life. It's not the heart of the Father for you to go through what you went through. That is not God's will. But what God does is that he uses the things that we go through, the suffering and the brokenness. He takes those things and he makes good out of it. It was never his will for you to go through those things, but despite going through those things, he takes those things and turns it for our good. And that's what it means. When we approach our brokenness and suffering, take it out from the shadow of the curse, put it into the light, this is what it means. It's reframing our thinking about the suffering and the brokenness that we're going through. Because befriending our brokenness and putting it under the blessing doesn't necessarily make it less painful, right? In fact, it often makes us more aware of how deep our wounds are and how unrealistic it is to expect them to vanish. But in embracing and bringing our wounds and our suffering and our brokenness into the light of God, it makes our brokenness bearable, and it gives us hope that God is doing something on the other side. Befriending our brokenness and taking our brokenness from out under the curse and into the light. And the last thing is using our brokenness to bring healing to others. I watched this really fantastic documentary on Christopher Reeves. If you don't know who he is, he played Superman in the first Superman movie. And, you know, I was watching it, and Krista, like, she was kind of, like, on the side, kind of, like, tuning in. And, like, I'm weeping. And Krista was not watching this with me from start to finish, but I look over, and she's, like, crying, too. It's such a good documentary. And if you don't know Christopher Reeves' story, Christopher Reeves, he was basically the face of America for a while. He was cast to play Superman, which is like one of the first prominent superhero films. And he was like the symbol of American strength and American heroism. But shortly after he had starred in these Superman movies, he got into a horseback riding accident that left him paralyzed from his neck down. And the headlines were, Superman is in a wheelchair. And it's interesting because as you go through this documentary, you see this man who once stood for the symbol of American heroism and strength, now unable to do anything by himself, unable to move his arms or his legs by himself, completely paralyzed and demoralized. But what's interesting is that his life from that point on was actually so much more impactful than the character that he played in a fictional movie. He started foundations that aimed to destigmatize the disabled. He did so much for this world. Through his brokenness, he was able to bring healing to our world. And this documentary is all about not just his life before he was injured, but the great life that he lived after. All the things that he did for people. Using our brokenness to bring healing to others. Henry Nouwen often calls Jesus God's wounded healer. And I love that title for Jesus. He is the wounded healer. Why? Because it was through Jesus' wounds that he brought healing to the world. It wasn't through his strength. It wasn't through his miraculous powers. It was through his wounds that he brought healing to our world. Jesus' suffering brought joy and life. His humiliation brought glory for us. His rejection brought a community of love. And in the same way, as followers of Jesus, our wounds, they have the power to bring healing to others. I don't know if you've ever sat with someone and shared something really hard that you're going through, and the person would respond, I know exactly what you're going through because I went through that same thing too. There's something healing about knowing someone has gone a little bit ahead of you, gone through the same darkness and brokenness that you're experiencing in the current moment, but unable to see the end of, and seeing someone who has gone through the other side and come out of it strong. Henry Nouwen says, when our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. But I do want to say, this takes time. And I think there's a period in our brokenness and our woundedness where we need to hold it close, where it's not yet a source of healing because it's still a source of pain for us. But there comes a point when we go through the journey of healing with Jesus where our wounds have scabbed over and scarred, where it can be a part of our story and our testimony to bring healing to others. It's a journey that God calls us to go on. So befriending our pain, putting our pain out of the curse and under the blessing, and using our brokenness to bring healing to others. Today, I want us to enter into a time of response, but I want our altar call to be led by a very good friend of mine, and his name is Elmo, so we're going to watch that.
Oh, Mr. Andrew?
Hey.
Hi. Elmo's going around Sesame Street checking in on everybody, so Elmo wants to know how Andrew's doing.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you, Elmo. You have no idea.
I'm almost happy to see you, too.
Well, I'm doing okay, you know.
Yeah? Well, what's going on?
Oh, I don't know. You sure you want to listen?
Oh, Emma would love to listen.
Oh, I'm just thinking about my mom today. Mm. You know, she passed away not too long ago. And, you know, I just miss her a lot.
Oh, I'm almost really sorry to hear that, Mr. Andrew.
Oh, no, it's okay. You don't have to say sorry. It's actually kind of okay to miss somebody.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Elmo always feels really sad when he misses somebody.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. But, you know, that sadness, it's kind of a gift. It's kind of a lovely thing to feel, in a way, because it means you really loved somebody when you miss them. And when I miss someone, I remember when I miss my mom, I remember all of the cuddles I used to get from her, all of the hugs I used to get from her. Yeah, just like that. And it makes me feel close to her when I miss her in a strange way. So I'm happy to have all the memories of my mom and the joy she brought me and the joy she brought my brother and my dad and everyone she ever met, everyone around her. So when I miss her, I remember it's because she made me so happy. So I can celebrate her and I can miss her at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Elmo really loves Daddy Andrew.
Elmo really listens really well.
Elmo wants to know how people are doing, and Elmo's very happy that you shared that with him. And you know what? Yeah. Elmo's going to think about and celebrate your mommy too.
Oh, Elmo. You know what? Nothing would make me happier and nothing would make her happy. Because you know what? I've got to tell you something. I've got to tell you a secret.
What?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Elmo is my mommy's favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Elmo needs a hug for that. Oh. Elmo loves you, Andrew.
I love you so much, Elmo, and I always have. I always will.
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to celebrate all the important and special people that you miss, too.
That's right. Each and every day, all together.
Powerful. Let's pray. I know it's kind of a lighthearted video, but I think there's a lot of depth and wisdom there. And I hate to make this illustration because you might laugh at it, but I do really feel like God wants to show up as our Elmo today. God does not want you to dismiss your pain or your brokenness. He doesn't want you to gloss over it. But he actually wants to sit with you in it. He's not quick to draw us out of the things that we're going through, because he knows that the true pathway to healing and restoration is through the brokenness and the pain. And if he were to quickly pull us out of it, he would rob us of true and full healing. Right now, I want to invite you right now to just invite God into your brokenness. And maybe there's something that you're going through right now where you need immediate comfort and presence. Maybe you're not going through something right now. Maybe it's something from your past that you have yet to resolve, that you're apathetic or numb to. Or maybe you're just doing okay. Either way, God longs to be close. And I love how the scriptures say that God is near the brokenhearted. It's not that God's proximity changes throughout our lives, but the experience of his nearness, there's a heightened grace for experiencing his nearness when we're going through suffering and pain. So right now, would you just invite not God's breakthrough, not God's healing, not God's provision, but God's nearness and his presence in the midst of your brokenness and pain? Would you just invite him to come sit with you? And I really do believe, like Elmo was able to do for Andrew, that he'll just sit with you in your pain. Not try to give you Bible verses to draw you out, but that together you can face it. Together you could befriend your brokenness in order to move toward healing. Jesus, thank you for facing your brokenness. Thank you for embracing your brokenness as a friend, because you've shown us the way. I pray that today that we would not run from our brokenness. We will not run from our pain. That we would not hide or gloss over our suffering, but that the wounded healer would be brought close. That the wounded healer would sit with us in our brokenness, that the wounded healer would hold us in our pain, and that we would trust that the wounded healer will draw us out. God, today we say that we're taking our brokenness out of the shadows, out of the curse, and placing it into the light of your presence. We don't know where or when or how, but we know and we can trust that you, wounded healer, good shepherd, will not lead us astray or leave us abandoned. So would you come? Be near the brokenhearted. Touch us in that deep place, past the surface of our chosenness and blessedness. Touch us in the places where we are broken and we're wounded. And I pray that whether it's next week, next year, or next seasons from now, that this room would be full of wounded healers that can tell the testimony of our scars, that can lead people into healing through our brokenness, not in spite of it. That our brokenness will not be something that we are ashamed of or need to hide away, but it's the very means through which God's power is perfected in us, where God's strength comes to light. And so I speak to the future destinies. I prophesy over these sons and daughters that they will come to become wounded healers that bring healing to our world through our wounds and through our brokenness, creatively and in beautiful ways. We love you and we thank you so much, God, for this time. We give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen.